Today's Perek in Tanakh is Melachim Aleph, Perek Yudchet. And the last thing that we had completed was the story of the Eliyahu's time from the moment that he was gozer, the problem of the Ra'av, and there'd be no rain, through the time that he went to Tzarafat, to the woman, and all the way to the point at which he was Mechayim Itim of her child. We saw that these were days of pain for Yisrael, that she had blamed him, and that apparently, as we'll see in today's parak, that everybody blamed him for being the one that had to say that this is terrible and there should be a Ra'av. And he was, in fact, capable of responding on a personal level to the point at which he changes our vision of the nature of life and death, Tchiyat HaMitim, and now our own personal avodah is to reach a level of Tchiyat HaMitim, as the Gemara brings the story of Antoninus, who tells Rebbe, I know that even your younger Talmidim can be Mechayim Mitim. That doesn't surprise me. And this is the Pirkei Ben Yoyer, the end of all avodah is Tchiyat HaMitim. This is the tefillah that we have of Mechayim Mitim, is our second bracha, that the essence of the very din of Gevura is the Shami, all interrelated. The very din that Elio brought down on the world is in terms of the Gevurot HaGishamim, which becomes Bechayam Etim at the end. This story is, according to the Medrash, the Makor of the Tvila, and remarkably, it's the Makor of the Bracha. It ends up being now that same story about Geshem, din, and death. And so, right smack bang in the middle, we stopped. But this went on for some time. Every single day, she would have to go back to that kara kemach, and that little bit of oil and kemach that was there, every day had to be given first to Elio, and then there would be what was left. Vayi yamim rabim. There were many days that passed on it. There weren't really many days, because, as we'll say, I mean, there's a machloket, whether it was a year plus a month on either end, or was it a year plus 3 months on either end, was it 14 months, was it 18 months, but there's certainly no yamim rabim. So, as the Medrash points out, but Yomim Rabim is an important word. Yomim Rabim is Yomim Shel Tzar. The same language that we find by Esther, Yomim Rabim, the same language we find in Yetzias Mitzrayim. But we already saw that it's not a coincidence that Elio becomes the one that is used to deconstruct the Malchus. Because after all, Elio is the one who's used to construct the Malchus. We talk about Dovin Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayam at the very time that we're talking about the waning of the moon, and now the beginning of the waxing of the moon, it's all in terms of Elio Anavi, the Muvaser. And here this man appears out of nowhere to deal with these issues. And Dr. Feinstein pointed out yesterday that he's talking in very historical terms, because he always talks in historical terms. And we'll see today far more of that. His vision is a historical vision, which he jams together words that are found at critical moments. And they're always part of his story, those critical moments, where even though they don't seem to come together in any particular way. So we could talk about Mekoshei Sheitzim. No world. We talk about Vayi Bayamim HaRabim. We could talk about a story of a man, which is a tzapachat instead of a tzapichit, but it's exactly the same. Man issues. We talk about Rivka coming to meet the Almana on the Mayim. It's a very strange vision of reality, but not strange when you think that this is a man who ends up living in some type of time vortex, in which everything is squished together and mushed together in his experience of events and time, and no longer feels himself constrained by the particular linear presentation of time that we have, but seems to be able to appear and disappear throughout time wherever he wants. So this guy's got a very, very strange way of looking at life. And that doesn't mean that it already is here, obviously, this Tevayim. And he changes himself and he becomes something very different at the very end of his life. And so the months pass, and the disastrous impact is just so bad. But the last thing that happened is that he had to give the Mafteach of Gishamim back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because he wanted to be in charge of the Mafteach of Tchiyat HaMitim, so to speak. We've already seen the two are fundamentally related. And the Gemara actually puts the two together, because the Tipash of Gishamim is Mechaya, the earth that was dormant, the earth that was dead. The previous season and year having died, it suddenly everything comes back to life. And in that sense, it's Godol, the Yom HaGishamim, even from Tchiyat HaMitim. Tchiyat HaMitim is for Tzadik, and is for everybody. So it's all interrelated, going all the way back to the vision of the original Tvila for Gishamim, as the Medrash points out from this pasuk. Kadosh Baruch Hu tells him, and it's only Bashanah Shlishit, so it couldn't have been that long. We'll see when we get into it. Leich Hera'elacha. go show yourself to Ahab. At which point, says the Midrash, Eliyahu starts screaming, Eliyahu Ahab, why should we, Eliyahu Ahab, did he do teshuva? Hechani Olay. Well, how am I going to go to him? Adakshav lo asa teshuva. So what, just because now I have to give you back the keys. So now it's all over. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, remarkably, look, baby, when I started this business, there was only one man around in the world. And it used to rain, just for him. So let's talk about the humanity of the issue. Let's not talk about who Ahav is. So humans began this way, and they continue this way. This world is meant to work for humans, which, of course, is exactly what Ahav has been saying all along. That is, Zelechera El Ahav. Let's not go overboard on the religious business. It doesn't say it's only Letzadikim. It says an Adam brings Geshamim. That's all. All I'm saying is that Yisrael is Adam Atem. Fine. To go, and then it's going to rain. And things are terrible. All of a sudden, he's popping into reality. He's disappeared. Nobody has seen him for 3 years, 14 months. And here he is. So he's going to show himself to Ahav. Meanwhile, Hara'av chazak b'shomron. And here is an unbelievable story. It's a story that seems like an absolute fairy tale. We're talking about Ahav HaMelech, who is a melech that we've seen even in archaeological documents. His malchus extends far, far beyond the range of Eretz Yisrael. We're going to see that the Gemara darshens, he was one of the 10 melechim, primal melechim, that rule over the entire world. Now, you know, Valio himself is going to make mention of this later to Eliyahu. And here is a story in which this great king speaks to Avadia Ashar Labayit and says, how about if we split up? I go one way, you go one way. Let's see if we can find some water. I mean, did you ever hear anything as so absurd in your life? Can you just imagine? You're talking about like tens of thousands of people around, the whole Ma'arechet, people bringing in data for the meteorological division every day. And Ahav wakes up in the third year and says, notice it hasn't been raining. Hey, Ovadia, maybe we should go out and do a little tiyul, and we'll find some water, and that way we'll be able to water our horses, because things have gotten bad. Is this crazy, or is this not crazy? Vayikra Ahav al Ovadia shal habayit. Now, you should know, Ovadia haya yarei et Adonai me'od. What in the world is that doing there? What do you mean, Ovadia is a great Yorei Hashem? Why is that part of the story? Says the Medrash, because what happened at that point is the Gemara. We're going to be getting there very soon, actually. The Gemara says that Ahav calls in Ovadia. He says, you know, you're the tzaddik around here. Last I heard, I don't know, there was this Mitzri guy who had a tzaddik in his house, a guy by the name of Job, and things went very well for him. And Vayavorech Hashem at Beit Potiphar, I mean, I don't see any good results from you. Lavan had Yaakov in his house, and he says, Nichashni, Vayavachini Hashem Begolecha. Something's wrong with you, buddy.
I got you, and all I got is dust.
All I got is dust, exactly. So how do you explain that? Shema lo yorei Elohim ata. Maybe you're phony. I thought I was investing in a real tzaddik. Comes out a basko, therefore, to say, wait a minute here. Ovadia is yorei Hashem ma'od. The problem is you. Beit HaShel Ahav, the Mitzri was roi for a brocha. Beit Lavan was roi for a brocha. Beit Ahav is not roi for a brocha. There's no brocha on your household. Okay. I mean, this is a funny place for the pasuk to be telling us that drasha. Fine, let's say that's the drasha. This makes it even more fairy-tale. Here comes Ahav, and he says, you know, let's split the meteorological duties today. Oh, well, listen, let's get there. Vayibach rit izevel, eight nevi'ei Adonai, vayikachu vadyahu me'a nevi'im vayachbi'im chabishim ishba me'ara, v'chilkalam lechem umay. And so when Izevel had gone out, this is backtracking, and it's coming to give us now the entire context, which is going to be central to tomorrow's parak as well, in how it is that Izevel faces down Eliyahu. All of this has to do now with the relationship to Tzor. He's in Tzarfat, which is Tzor. And this is the place where Izevel comes from, the Makor of all of the Avodah Zarah, as we pointed out initially. So in the times that Izevel finally was powerful enough to get rid of all of the Bnei HaNevi'im, Ovadiah managed to keep 100 Nevi'im, which he himself, he put them 50 ish b'mara. Here we go to the very primal events. The Gemara says, where did he get the idea to put 50? Now he learned from Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu made shnei machanot when he was coming to Esau. That's interesting, because Ovadia is actually a ger from Edom. How do you like that? Not only that, he becomes the Navi that forecasts the end of Edom. Right. Say for Ovadiah. Okay, so now, this is not a coincidence that he's learning from the interrelationship of Yaakov and Esau, that he's got to split now his machana into shtei machanot. Okay? The power of the merits are sure, exactly. Not only that, the Shechina is not supposed to be Shora only on Miuchasim Shem Yisrael. So why was it Shora in Ovadia? Because of this. V'chil kalam lechem umayim. Once again, that constant refrain that is part of Pesel Micha, feeding people, is more important than the rule. Amazing. Again and again and again. And why was Achav roi for this incredible power and to be a melech for so long? And Olak O says the Gemara. You know why? Now, how is it that Achav wins wars and real kings lose wars? It's very simple. How did he get away with keeping 100 people fed? Nobody saw. Nobody knew. Of course people knew. They didn't talk. So those were days in which people respected discretion. Because Shaloh Ayubahem Dal Turin, which goes all the way back to Yitzias Mitzrayim again, Vayabayamim Rabimahim, says Moshe Rabbeinah, Ein Noda Davar, exactly what Eliyahu is. Ah, they deserve to be in Galut. Why should I go take them out of Galut? That was the other side of Moshe. Here comes Achav, Shabiyamav Lo Ayubahem Dal Turin. And he gets now the Malchut based on this. We're constantly given mixed messages here. But the Torah is presenting a split. And everything here is split. The 100 men are split into two machanot. Achav and Ovadia have to split. The two parim that are going to be presented on the mountain, they have to be split. And of course, the essence of the definition of good and evil is the two seirim. They have to be exactly the same, which we darshan here on the two parim. One is La Hashem, one is La Azazel. Which one? Choose up. Which becomes central in this story. The parim are going to have to be chosen up. And, of course, in exactly the same way that we have on Yom Kippurim, one par is going to say, this is unfair. And we're going to have to answer them and say, life is unfair. But the end result is exactly the same. And this is what Elio tells the par. You're claiming it's not fair that you were chosen to be given to the V.A. Haba, which is going to be seen. And I say that the same Kiddush Hashem that's going to be made by your being given to the by my bringing up the Par LaHashem is going to be made, and perhaps even more, as the Medrash points out. Greater is the Kilus, the Shmor Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that comes from hell than the one that comes from heaven. So there, which korban is the one that's Bechaper on all of the Avonis of Yisrael, the one that goes to hell? So then that means that we are being thrust directly into the very point that is the issue between Achav and Elio, and we are not going to get any simple answer. On the one hand, when you're Kere Din, it's a disaster. On the other hand, it's only that person that's capable of the Tikkun. But this goes all the way back to the Maisa Ego, which is the source behind my point. The same Aaron, who was handling things the way Achav was handling things, which seems to be Yerovam-oriented, which goes all the way, of course, to Pesavich again, and the Levi, and all that, the whole problem. He was the one that was the only one that was capable of being the Kohen Gadol in the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore he's the one now that's the only one that's able to go in Achas B'Shana, the only one that now is the total opposite of the guy who's the Ish Iti, who the Medrash says is some weirdo. He's like a nut. And he goes out to bring the Sar L'Azazel with him, but Dafka looked for a nut. And then, as the Gemara says, yeah, but then they meet each other. And the Yishiti says, the Kohen Gadol, Yishi Kohen Gadol, the Mechayei Chayim, we both did his words. Chayei Chayim, at that point, it is the source of life. It goes in both directions. Let's not jump to conclusions that you're a better man than I am. So the Yishiti is a man of the hour. Same message HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, go show yourself to Achav. We didn't make any distinctions with the first man. Whatever he was, because that's what there was. Achav is what there is. Yisrael is what there is. Get the word, please. Go back. But I don't like it. Maybe I don't like it either. Oh, what do you want? This amazing mixed message, which is mixed to such an extent that everything is mixed. Everything is going to be split in this parak. It's an unbelievable story. So he's giving them lechem u'mayim. I say lechem u'mayim that the Orvim are providing on the other end, initially to Elio. And he's, meanwhile, while that's going on to Elio, he's bringing the lechem u'mayim to these... to these Levian. Vayomer Achav al Avadiyahu.
And at a time there's no list. I mean,
It says, the Medrash points that out, that it was much harder to get them water than to get them lechem, because water, you can't concentrate, and calories, you can concentrate. Vayomer Achav el Avadyahu, and here's like the weirdest thing. Leif ba'aretz el kol ma'ane ha'mayim v'el kol ha'nechalim. I want you to do a survey all around the country. All of the wells, all of the springs. Ulay nimtza chatzir. You never know, we may find a little bit of chatzir. I guess nobody else thought of looking there, you know. It's only been 3 years. Nobody had the idea, maybe we should try to find a place where there's water. Unechayeh suz vafered, and then at least we'll have some water to give our horses. V'lo nachrit mabeima, and we won't lose our animals. And so they split the country. Avadia goes one way, here we go splitting again. So Avadia goes one way, Achav goes the other way, and this is the most insane. It's absolutely impossible. There goes the king all alone, dressed up in some type of meteorologist's uniform, I guess.
His helmet.
Yeah, who knows? Nobody knows who he is. He's just walking around the country looking for water. Avadia. Allah, but there are chadlavad. I mean, you understand the absurdity. I mean, this is literally theater of the absurd. It's an unbelievably strange story.
It's an incredible personal responsibility.
Yes, that's what I'm trying to point out. But what has happened over here is we are down to the absolute crux of the issue. I, Achav, this is the beginning of the Knia of Achav. I, Achav, bottom line. You, Avadya, bottom line. We stand on different sides of the fence. I'm going to go one way, you're going to go the other way. But we are both personally responsible. And that's what the Gemara is bringing out. Avadya, you're supposed to be the Yosef around here. There ain't no Kalkal. Where's the Kalkala? So how about if we split it? You see what you can do, and I'll see what I can do on a completely personal level. This is no longer about the big ideas of Malchut. Let's get down to the, we'll strip it to its absolute basis. Just as HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Eliyahu, I want to strip this down. It's a question of humanity. Tefillah for Geshamim started with Siach HaSadeh, one human being. Fine. I want to be that human being, says Achav. I'm going to see to it that the earth is provided for. Or maybe it's you. Let's see. But this becomes now an absolute chalukah in the search, just like it was chalukah throughout. That's exactly. It's always like that when you get down to the nitty gritty. It's always in terms of Behima. That's Noach again. That's the Orvim. It's Adam Bishvil Behima, as the Medrash says. That's the point where you talk about nitty gritty. It's not even about people. It's about the humanity. Humanity comes from the word for protoplasm, the actual, the humus of the earth.
Looked at as a nisayon, like the
Baal
people, that you're on one side,
I'm
on the other side.
It's going to be.
We'll see who wins.
Yes, sure. I wouldn't know if you call it a nisayon, but it's a face-off. This is all, everything here is about face-off. From the beginning of the face-off in the house of Chiyo Beit Ha'Evli, it's been a face-off. Yes, correct. That's the point. We don't want to work together. I'm going to go one path, you go in the opposite path. Which, of course, harkens back to the idea of Lot and Avram, which was also the same idea of giving food and heart. Okay. So, Avadyo Baderech, Avadyo is going on his road, and well, why not? Elio is coming to, oh no, he says, no, this, tell me this isn't true. Anything but this. Vayakireo, and he recognizes Elio, Vayipola Panav, he falls on his face, he says, Atase Elio. Vayom Elio, yep, that's me. Lechem ola danechin Elio. Go tell Achav. Oh, no. Please. What did I do to you? What is my sin that you want to destroy me today? You know exactly what's going to happen. This is insane. This is absurd. He's been looking for you for 3 years. You understand what we're talking about? Multi-million dollar searches. And I'm going to find a little water, and I just bump into you, and you say, sure, go back and tell him that we all want to talk to you. You understand what that's going to mean? Oh, please don't do this. I swear to God, if you can name a country where there hasn't been now a demand for the Hezger of Eliyahu, and nobody's come up with anything, which is, of course, the Makar that the Gemara brings, that Achav must be, that he was, it's a picket of Rabbi Eliezer also. Achav must have been one of those who was marshal in the entire earth. Maybe. How can you demand to send me Elio? We don't want to send you Elio, Jew boy. Obviously, he could have done this, and he's just saying this, Mitzir Levituma. And they all deny that they've ever heard anything about Eliyahu. They don't know. I. And now, I mean, he made them swear. The moment you show up, you're being sent back here by a plane. And you come along now. Why don't you just go back and mention that Eliyahu was there? I know exactly what's going to happen. Mr. Disappearing Artist. I'm going to go and I'm going to say to Achav, well, I found Eliyahu. I guess the only problem is that you're not there. And he's going to say, oh, you found Eliyahu. Oh, sure, I found Eliyahu. Let me see Eliyahu. And then he's going to come back with me, right? Meanwhile, you will, of course, done your disappearing act. Lloyd, I have no idea where you go. And I'm going to go tell Achav. Ah, I just bumped into Eliyahu walking down the road. He's not going to find Eliyahu, and I'm dead. Varagani. Look, maybe you don't know who I am, but I'm a good guy. I'm telling you I'm a good guy. I have a lot of Yerushalayim. The Gemara learns from here that a person's allowed to toot his own horn in cases where people don't know him and it's an emergency. I mean, didn't you hear on Ynet, Alohu Gad Ladoni, et asher asiti barogi zevel et nivyei abal, et nivyei Adonai? Surely you know that when Izebel went out and was killing the Nevi'im, and I went ahead in the middle of Nazi Germany over here, and I was Achbim Nivei Adonai Mea Ish, 50-50 Ish B'Mahara, V'chakalem Lechem U'mayim, it's my own money. And now you do this thing? You got a bad reputation, you know, anyway. Now you say, Atomer Lech Emor Ladonech Yinei Eliyahu. Paragani. There's no other way out of this, you know that. V'yomer Eliyahu, no, this is not a game. I'm not... I don't know. The Malbim says that the reason for the repetition is that what he's telling Eliyahu is, you know my reputation, and that is that I've been hiding the Nevi'im. If I suddenly bring you out, do you understand what he's going to think?
Wow.
So if it turns out that I was hiding you for 3 years, which killed who knows how many people, because I was protecting you, then you understand that I'm dead. Even if he does find you, I'm dead. Vayomer Eliyahu. Chai Adonai Tzvaot, asher amarati lefanav, ki ayom era'eh elav. You have nothing to fear. This is not a strange message to Achav, just to show him that to his servants, or Yorei Hashem, I show myself and prove that I will not show myself. This is serious. I intend to greet Achav today. Vayelach Ovadiah likrat Achav vayaged lo. So Ovadiah goes back, meets Achav, tells him what just happened. Vayelach Achav likrat Eliyahu. Vayhi kirot Achav et Eliyahu, and here he sees his nemesis. Vayomar Achav elav, ha! Atazeh ocher Yisrael? So, it's you, is it? The man who turned Yisrael so ugly. This is all your fault. Vayomar, no. It's not me, the ocher Yisrael. Lo acharti Yisrael, gimata, ubeit avich, it's you! Boz v'chem et mitzvot Adonai v'atelech achorei ha'balim. This has nothing to do with me. It's entirely about you. And if there's going to be an end to this, then it has to end by our personal face-off, becoming a face-off in this nation. Either you're going to be part of this, or there's not going to be any help. I'll tell you how the rains are going to come. V'ata shlach kevotz elai et kol Yisrael al har ha'karmel. You have to be behind this. And we're going to have a public meeting around Har Sinai. Around Har ha'karmel. Why around Har ha'karmel? Because when the Torah was originally meant to be given, so all of the Horim were saying what their milas were. So Tabor had its milas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, okay, you know what? The Nisim of Dvera, of Barak, that'll be in Har Tabor. Har ha'karmel says, listen, I'm a beautiful mountain. I should come. I should be deserving. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, guest, Ke Karmel Bayam Yavo. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the day will come when just like here in Har Sinai, there will be Makabal Teir, there will be Makabal Teir in Har ha'karmel. So, let's go to Har ha'Karmel.
The showdown in Har ha'Karmel. Bullocks at 10 paces.
And I want you to call everybody. I want you to bring all the Nevi'ei Baal. The Nevi'ei Baal are Barmeot v'chamishim. And another, the Nevi'ei Asherah are Barmeot. All of the people that live with you, huh? They're all Ochlei Shulchan Yisrael, your wonderful Zevel wife. And bring them all out here. They're all in your hands. Let them get an opportunity to show their stuff. Vayishlach Achav b'chol b'nei Yisrael, and Achav actually went along with this, which is remarkable. I mean, this is clearly aimed at the destruction of his whole point of view and his riot with Yisrael. But he goes along with it. Vayikbotzit on the email Har ha'Karmel, and he's the only one that can do it. I mean, there's no way that you're going to get the nation to respond unless it's a Tzivoy HaMelech. Vayigash Eliyahu kol ha'am vayomer. And this is the most remarkable thing, in which whatever the problems were, remember that we traced the original statement of Yeravam to Yisrael, to Adir Rechavam, in the name of Yisrael, as implying that everything that Shlomo HaMelech had done was coercive, and that nobody really wants this. And therefore, whenever you do something that people don't want, the end result is disaster. You might think you're being metakeh in the world, and I'm telling you that in the same way that your father died, you're going to watch everything fall apart. If you try to keep this up, it's going to just fall apart more. And the raya that I'm right is Maimon Har Sinai. People perceived it as Skafalei Amar Chagiges, and where did it go? A Maisa Egel in 40 days. You want me to show you how quick to go back to the Egel? What do you think you've achieved with this supposed Mikdash, in which everybody has to pay heavy taxes for and work? And it's all garbage, coercive. Says Elio, the days of coercion are over, gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to make your choice. Entirely up to you. You like the ball? Great. Go to the ball. Nobody's telling you not to go to the ball. What we cannot have is this absurd hypocrisy, the lie, the pretending that opposites can coexist. You have to make choices. That's all I'm saying. I'm not telling you what you got to do. I never was. I was angry, and I remain angry at the fact that you're not willing to make choices. And I tell you, Ad matay atem poskim al shtei ha'seifim. You cannot have one leg on either side of the fence.
No shmogus.
And the important idea, seifim. What is seifim? Seifim literally is taken, but it's a shem mushal. It's taken from the idea of the various branches of a tree that can branch out. But in its deeper meaning is thinking that contains both directions at once. Se'efim saneti, says David HaMelech. I hate people who are big thinkers, who are willing to support completely opposite ideas in their minds. So se'efim is a lashon of machshava. You want to keep all your options open. That is not going to happen. You're going to be called upon today to choose. You cannot continue to live like this, because then you will not be given rain. Now you can choose the ball. That's fine. But not one foot on one side of the fence, the other foot on the other. Im Adonai Elohim, l'chu acharav. You're going to have to decide that you want him completely. V'im Baal, if you believe Baal is God, by all means, l'chu acharav, go ahead. V'lo anu ha'amot o'davar, now nobody responded to that. As opposed to our Sina with Vayanu kolaham, Vayanu, same language. Vayanu kolaham lemor. There's no Vayanu. Nobody says anything. You got anything else to offer? Because we're not ready to choose. V'yom Eliyahu, I'm okay. Okay, you're not ready to choose? Let's make the choice more obvious. You want to split things? We'll split things. We've got two sides over here. One guy on one side and 450 guys on the other side. All right? Anino tarti navil adonai levadi. Nivyei ha-baal arba meot v'chamishim ish. I say, mitnu lanu shnayim parim. Because this is what it's always about. It's always about things to look exactly the same. And they have to be the same. Vayifrulem ha-par ha-echad. Learn from what's the chant. Ha-par ha-echad. Why did you say par echad? Because it isn't just par echad. It's a par that is paired. It has to be precisely paired pars in order for this to be, and just like the Seirim on Yom Kippurim. Then it becomes a par ha-echad. So they need it to be, says the Medrash, twins, born of the same mother, growing up on the same trunk, dancing in the same field. That's paracha. No, there's no differences. Look, this is a controlled experiment, gentlemen. So there's not going to be anything else that could be different. Okay, they're coming from exactly the same genes. Everything's the same. Not that God relates to this par as opposed to that par. You know what? We'll even leave it up to chance. It's all going to be done by Goral. Nobody's got any kind of hand in this, all right? Now, so they can choose. Go ahead. You choose. You take the first one that comes up. And let them put it on the Mizbeach with lots of fuel. Just don't light the fire. And also, and now we're going to see who responds. You call the name of your gods, whoever they are. I will call in the name of Hashem. What do you say? And that gives you a chance to show that there's differences. There are differences. You can't just support everything. There's controls. Vayan kolam, okay. Now they answer. The Vayan was, okay, we like the idea. Tova davar. We're very far from Nasim and Ishmael. Vayom Eliyahu Nevi'ei Habaal. Okay, you guys first. Bacharu lachem apar echad. Vasur Rishonak, Yatam Arabim. It's only fair. 450 guys, guy. Vekiru b'shem Eloheichem. V'esh lo tasim. So, Vayikrot apar shel Asher natan lahem. So, he what do you mean Asher natan lahem? He said, you go first. Why is it Asher natan lahem? It's not the one that he gave. Wait a minute. This is ruining the whole thing. Ah, so here is the famous, beautiful story in the Medrash. All 450 Nevi'i Ha'Ba'al came to take this bar, and they couldn't move it, budget a centimeter. So Elio comes and says, you're screwing up this whole show. What's the problem? So the bar says to him,
in front of everybody,
me and my brother, we grew up from the same mother. Twins frolicked over the same fields, ate from the same trough. And this is unfair. He gets to be a korban Hashem and to be megadol klei shamayim, and I got to go with these creeps? No way, says Eliotim. But, I mean, the end result is, what's the difference? The end result is that the Kiddush Hashem is going to come from the fact that you were taken to the bar. So it's really all built on you. Oh, says the bar, this is an answer. I like these kinds of philosophical answers. I ain't budging. Now, if you really believe that answer, you hand me over to them. Go ahead. You say this is fair. And Elio does. This is part of that overall vision that Elio has to come to. Because this is the Kiddush that Elio too. Remember, he's talking about everything being very clear and everything is different and it's exact opposites. You go this way, you go that way, and there shouldn't be any rain, and this is what he's demanding the whole time. And now he's got to argue to the power, but it doesn't really matter. Because vayahu tmurato yekodesh. I mean, the end result is, don't make it tmura, but if you do, you know, it's all kodesh in the end. That's why midas ha-din, in the end, is the gilui of tmura. Two, he has to argue now in benefit of, it really doesn't matter. And that's, of course, the ultimate Seir La'azazel verse. That's the same thing that occurs by Tzaras, by the Metzora, in which one of the birds goes out, it's Arachai, it's Iparamet, and send it out. Lo Amrin et Shlach L'Takalah, there's a major circuit that goes throughout the entire Torah. Okay, so he's got to make the argument. And so, Vayikot HaPar Asher Natan Lahem, it's amazing to you. He had to hand them over the part in the end because it wouldn't go. Vayasu, Vayikru, V'shem HaBaal, Yaboker, HaTzoraim, as Fazal tell us about it. What did these guys think? No, they had a guy placed under there with a match. He was, when he calls Baal, they're supposed to light it, nothing is supposed to go up, it's not beautiful. All arranged. The only problem was that the guy got bit by a snake that just happened to be the old Mamba, and he dropped dead. They figured he fell asleep, so if we're loud enough, maybe he'll hear us. And so, they're crying, Yaboker, HaTzoraim, Baal, and Enu.
Oh, really? Different scenes. It shows the snake with the guy underground. Oh, wow.
And
when the Syrians heard that it's Bimachazik, the Medvish of the Jews, so they stopped the connection. They shut it down a little bit. But that's on one of the scenes, of the biblical scenes.
Where is it?
In Syria today.
Beautiful. That's amazing. Amazing what people, what will left an impact on people. So, ain't called, ain't on that. It's not nothing. Vayefasku al hamizbeach asher asah. And so, the way in which they would try to get the Baal to respond is dance over the Mizbeach, jump over the Mizbeach, they're doing all of their stuff, and shamanic arts over here, it's a beautiful scene, except that nothing happens. So by even it's Orion, it's getting late, by a hotel by Melio, and of course this is one of the places where we find that it's mutter to use humor, which generally, it's an unfair way of handling something, sarcasm, humor, or just plain out litzanas. But from Avodah Zarah, you're allowed to laugh at. So he starts.
Oh, that's, of course, the laughing is a way of honoring the...
Right. So he laughs at them. He says, no, I think your problem is the microphones are not turned up. You know, your amplifier is too weak. Get a better amplifier. Here, uve kol gadol. You should be a little bit louder, no? I mean, after all, he is a god, Ki Elohimu. I mean, he must be busy. He's very busy. So, Kisiach, Vichisiglo, Vichiderichlo. Look, I mean, he's got a lot of, you know, telephone calls coming in, and he's thinking about deep ideas, and, you know, and thinking about all these things. I mean, he's a busy guy, you know, and he's Vichiderichlo, and of course, this is the classic. Vichiderichlo means maybe he's in the bathroom. Which is what Pa'or is all about. The central theme of Avodah Zarah is always bathroom humor. And, maybe he's fell asleep a little, you know. Ulayashenu vayikat. Vayikru vekol gadol. They're doing everything. Vayit go to duke mishpatam, and they're just tearing at their skins. And the whole Muslim business, b'charavo, the Baramakim, let the blood flow. Achvogdam alayam. Vayikavorat zarah. Yeah, it's already. It's already after the afternoon here. Vayitnabu ad la'alot ha'mincha. It's time now. And they're sitting there lying on the ground, and they're spouting all types of prophecies. And that big moment is coming. It's coming until it's time for the korban minah. Ve'in kol, ve'in oneh, ve'in kasher. Nobody's listening. Nobody's responding. And this is no good. Ein kasher is about what's the difference between ein kol, ve'in oneh, and ein kasher. So as the Medrash Rabba, what it means is that the world shut down. The world was mashtik everything. Can you hear anything? No bird chirp. Of course, that's exactly what happened on Har Sinai, where there was going to be a gili of the Shekhinah. So I have total silence. So the sounds of silence. And now it's time for the korban mincha, the tamid shabin arbayit brought the Beit HaMikdash. Vayomre Eliyahu l'chol ha'am. Okay, let's forget about this nonsense. Dishuel, just come here. Vayishu kol ha'am elav. Vayirapet mizbach Adonai ha'arus. He went and he built the mizbeach. It was mazkir. Dafke, the binyan ha'mizbeach, that was harus, because of the way that they've been acting. And he actually, the Medrash Rashi brings is that Shaul had built a mizbeach in Har Carmel. And this goes back to the question of what is Carmela. You remember that we had before Carmela, which most understand to mean the Carmel, the area of Carmel, not Har HaCarmel. For whom made tziv lo yad? But according to this Medrash, the Rashi was Makabel, that yad was indeed at Har HaCarmel. He had built a mizbeach over there. The Malchi Yisrael had been horis. All of the mizbechot that had been built to Shem Shamayim, and Eliyahu rebuilt the mizbeach that had been the original mekor of the Malchus of Shaul, the mizbeach in Carmel. Vayikach Eliyahu 12 avanim ki mispar shiftei bnei Yaakov. And here, for the first time, it's exposing his ideas. I didn't just take 12. I took 12 because I'm coming b'schus hashvatim. I took 12 the way Yaakov Avinu built the Kever Rachel, the way that the Mizbeach of Yaakov was built by 12. We're going all the way back to the Mecca. You want to talk about religious feelings? I want to talk to you about where it all comes from. Let's rebuild. So we're only the Atzeres Hashvatim. That's the point. There is no real split when it comes to what is at the core of our identity. Asher hayad davar Adonai elav lemor Yisrael yeshabecha. Those 12 shiftei bnei Yaakov. What are we talking about? Do we need to go back? Yeah, that's the whole point, is what he's bringing out to them. It all started when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Yaakov Avinu and said that you can be Yisrael. And Yisrael meant struggling. And Yisrael meant not compromising. And Yisrael meant sitting over there and facing yourself down, just like he did at the moment that he was called Yisrael. Well, this is the Mizbeach I'm building. Vayivneh avanim Mizbeach b'shem Adonai. Vayas te'allah kevek sa'atayim zera saviv la'mizbeach. He built a moat all around it, which is a beit sa'atayim, which is me'al kamishim, the size of a chatzar mishkan, to remind them of the original Mizbeach, which was the mekor of Hakrova. And then vayarof et haitzim, vayinatach et hapar, vayasem al haitzim. He did all of the avedas. This, of course, is all usher to do, because he's not allowed to do it. This is all an immense hora'at sha'a that he's showing them is meant to be mechuvan to the zman of Akrovas HaTomid, to the Mizbeach that's in the Beis HaMikdash. Vayomer milu arba'a kadim mayim, bring me up 4 containers of water to pour all over here. Vayitzku ala olav alay tzvi, pours it all over the top of the Mizbeach. The wood is soaking wet. The meat is all covered with water. Vayomer shenu, do that again. Vayishnu. Vayomer shalesh, do it again. This, by the way, becomes a halakha. When we do things that there are those who are mitnaged to, so let's say the tzedukim, we say 3 times. Is this a magal? Yeah. Is this a magal? Yes. You sure? Absolutely sure. Right? Is today Shabbos? Yes. You sure? Yes. So this is not a makor. This is not due to something. Let's make sure that it's very clear. Is there water? Yes. Do it again. The entire thing became now filled with water. How could it be? I mean, all we're talking about over here has the Tanya Eliyahu, but I mean, he knows. What are we talking about over here? 12 containers of water. I mean, what that this entire Mokum, which is the entire Chatzar HaMishkan, got filled with water. So there is, it says, Elamar lahem l'talmidav mi sheyeshlo ma'im bekado. That's the pshat. And this is where Elisha said that he was Shafat Mayim. We'll identify him later on. To come and to show who is now responding to the Tzivu Eliyahu. Everybody. You want to choose who to be a Talmud of? Go pour your water. And then, indeed, the whole place became filled with water. In other words, he was giving people the opportunity to choose. In this very act, before he even started. Okay, are you guys ready to start thinking about this? So whoever has some, come on, come, come, join me. Until the point where the mind was heard of 70 vote all along, and so was that moment, that's the posik, tikon tefilati k'toret lefanecha, masat kapayim minchat arev, that there's a special segula in tefilas amincha, which is chov yiftak arish baruch hu, and here that's where we say, lo na'ana Eliyo ala b'tfilat amincha. And so the mincha is coming up, v'yigash Eliyo anaviv v'yomar, Adonai Elohe Avraham Yitzchak v'Yisrael, hayomi vadak ya'atalu b'Yisrael v'ali abdecha. Let it be known today that you, in fact, are the God of Israel. I am your Eved, and I did all of this stuff. Not what they're claiming. They're claiming that all of this was my own idea. Not only this Mizbeach, I mean, it's obviously, as the Gemara points out, I mean, he's doing Yisurim, so he wants to be Megala. First of all of this is Al-Pi Dvar Hashem. I mean, don't think we're putting on shows here, you know, like a conservative rabbi. It's Bidvar Chasiti et Kol HaDvarim Ha'ela. But also, it's enough for these Chashadot that it's all about me. You sent me to confront Acha. So that everything that I did was to define that confrontation. Aneni Adonai Aneni. What the two Anenis, both Aneni in terms of this age, Aneni in terms of the rain that's supposed to come afterwards, or the brilliant Gemara, which always sounded. Aneni to do this miracle, and then Aneni that they shouldn't figure out the miracle with just some kind of weird magical stunt, because I know miracles, exactly, miracles mean nothing, as we know. So, and we'll see at the end, he throws it in the face of God. This indeed, in the end, and how do we know that that's what happened? Yep, that's exactly what happened. It's a nice show, and that's what Ezevel was going to say next paragraph. It's a nice show. It's good for about 24 hours. We'll wait till tomorrow. I'll get you that. Amazing. Like, what do you think you're accomplishing here? The whole thing becomes a smack in the face tomorrow. But fine, I know that this doesn't mean anything. Says Chazal that this Elio was mitiach dvorim klapi mala. But he basically threw this in the face of HaKadosh Baruch Hu kevayachol. The only reason they got into this mess is because of you. You turned their heart backwards. You made it possible for them to go insane like this. That's what I'm saying. So the truth is that Chazal have two approaches to this again, which is, Ata, I'm asking you to be Mesav Libam HaKoranit, so that they shouldn't think that it is Kishafim. And it's you who've done this until now. The Rambam discusses this in a number of places. One in Ilkas Tshuva, where he talks about the fact that it can be an onesh to someone who is Chote, not to be given opportunities to see the need for teshuva. And that's the way it's been up until now. Talks about it also in the Shemona Prakim. But context obviously is going to define the way a person sees things. And I mean, look at the horrible way these people have been exposed to malchus, the chinuch that they got, the culture around them. What do you expect from them? That's also at the Sivot at the Bamachoran. You can't judge it, but this is the same words that he needed to talk to the par, in a sense. He's arguing against himself. Because he was the one that had brought this down to be black and white. And then when he comes and he has to be Mizbeach, this happens to him again and again. She has to give up when he needs to be Mechaya Mason, when the child of the Alman. What? Her too. He has to argue with the Par. He has to discuss with Achav who the Ogre is for. Now he has to argue now with HaKadosh Baruch Hu when his tefillah is not being answered. His tefillah is not being answered. So he needs to say, in a sense, it's all your fault. That's what Achav was saying. That's what Achav was saying all along. What are we jumping to conclusions? Isn't that what Moshe Rabbeinu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Lama Hashem yekharav chavi amecha. It's exactly what Moshe said. It's your fault. The Gemara says this. Moshe lama adover demetz. Kesef is avshir abisoem. A father who puts a wallet on his kids filled with gold coins and gives them beautiful perfume, lovely clothing, gives them a nice shower, and then sends them to the red light districts. And then he gets angry when he finds him in bed. I'm going to kill you. He says, you're going to kill him. You did kill him. It's your fault. So this is exactly what Eliyahu is saying over years. This goes back to the Maisa Ego, which was the story of Yerovam in the first place. And the same way he's been given mixed messages, we're being given mixed messages. So what is the fact? And if they make a choice, it's going to be a meaningful choice with all of the sound and light show and silliness. It's a crazy story. And indeed, Vatipol Ish Adonai, Vatochal et Ha'olah, Vat Ha'itzim, Vat Avanim, Vat Afar, Vat Amayim Asher Bet Ha'olah L'Cheicha. There's so much heat that the water starts boiling around. Everything is burnt to a crisp. Vayar kol ha'am vayipu al pneihem vayomru Adonai hu Elohim. Adonai hu Elohim. And before we continue, I would like to go quickly through till the end of the parak, and then go back and do it pasuk-pasuk, because we can't grasp the overall structure until we see where this is headed. So now continuing pasuk mem, Vayomer Eliyahu lahem tifsu et nevi'ei ha'ba'al ish al yimalek mehem vayitfasu. And so Eliyahu says to all of the people that were present, grab all the nevi'im of the Baal, don't allow a single escapee, and they all grab them. You'll notice, by the way, that originally he had asked for the 400 nevi'ei ha'asherah. They apparently never showed up. There's different approaches to why not. First of all, they're Ochli Shulchan Izevel, so it may well be that Izevel protected them. Or some suggest that they knew where this was heading and that there was no way that they were going to take a chance on getting into this kind of situation, a little bit brighter than the Nevi'ei Ha'Baal. But it's obviously more reasonable that they needed the protection of Izevel, because the whole point was that the Malchut was gathering them. So it was Achav. If it were in Achav's hands, then Einachinami, they would have been gathered. That seems to be there. And everybody grabs them. And so he now actually slaughters all of them on the edges of the Nachal Kishon, the very place of that was the Nachal. Remember, that was the Arev for all of the times of Mitzrayim, where all of the money that had gone there. There was a commitment at that time that Nachal Kishon will be the one that's the Arev to pay back all of those that had fallen into the Yam, and that was used afterwards as it gave back double. Remember with the story of Devorah. Nachal Kishon, Yorafam, Nachal Kedumim. Why did you say Nachal Kedumim? It was the Nachal, it was Nasis, the Orev, Mikedem, so it was always now the guarantor. So now he comes down to Nachal Kishon, but again, very historically aware, and does the Shechita of these Nevi'im there. Well, Yomer Eliyahu le'Achav, and so Eliyahu le'Achav says, Ale echol ushte. Go up now. Apparently there was the city where Haifa is. This was now on the bottom area. Ale's mashri should go up to the top. So he must have had a palace around where the Baha'i Gardens are. You know, undoubtedly every tourist guide will tell you that. And that noise that you hear, what noise? The shouting of the Nevi'ei Ha'Baal, the Hanini Hashem response, Hashem Elokim, that is the sound of rain, my friend. So that Kol Hamon is the sound of Geshem. Now, there wasn't any Geshem. And this actually refers to a halacha. The halacha is that once you start the ta'anit, you have to be mashlam even when it starts raining. And he's saying, you go up and eat. So in other words, what he's saying is, okay, it's already after Chatzos. It's only then after Chatzos. But you already heard the thunder of the rain with the Hashem Elohim, and that's enough. That was the very fact that the people gathered here for this purpose, even though the actual events took place Acharat Zorayim, as we saw, that was the beginning. That Kol Hamon of the gathering, saw the Malbim there, it's a beautiful shot. That Kol Hamon is, for all intents and purposes, the sound of rain. And therefore, you don't even have to yamash from the Ta'anit, go and eat. Amazingly, I mean, there wasn't a cloud in the sky. It was a boiling hot day. There was no chance of rain, just like it's been for the past 3 years. And Achav, who is like the man who's not going to accept any of this, he goes, Al pi Elio, and he goes, Lechov lishtot. Elio alal rosh hakamel. Vayighar arza. He lies down on the ground. Same lotion that's used on the death. Later on, we'll see with Elisha and so on. Vayighar, lying flat out. And then Vayasem panav ben birkav, he puts his face between his own knees. Vayomer al naharo, and he tells, we're going to go over each one of these pasuk. He tells the boy that's with him, Alina habet derech yam. Go take a look and see what's happening towards the sea. Vayav, vayabet, vayomer in mu'uma. There's not a darn thing out there. There ain't no rain coming anywhere. Vayomer shuv. Go back. And he does this sheva pa'amim, clearly keneged the sheva rakiyas, where the Shekhinah had already now taken itself away from Yisrael, and therefore there was no response immediately to Geshem. Sheva pa'amim. Vahiba shvi'it vayomer. At the seventh time, the boy says, Hine av kitana kechaf ish olamiyan. There's like this tiny cloud. That's the only thing I see. Vayomer alei amar al Achav, go run up there to Achav's palace. Warn Achav, esor v'reid, put on your stuff, get the chariot ready, and get out of here. V'lo yad tzarcha agashim, because you're not going to be able to use the road. Meanwhile, it's a bright day, you see. Vayi atko. By the time he gets up there and tells Achav, and Achav's got a chance to start moving, Vashamayim hitkadru avim v'ruach vayi geshem, there was an immense storm in which this cloud just expanded. Vayirkav Achav vayelach Yisraela. Achav gets into the chariot and takes off to Israel. V'yad Adonai hayetal Eliyahu vayishanez motnav. And suddenly there's a ruach of gvura that now covers Eliyahu, and he girds now. This word vayishanes is never used anywhere else. It's just clear from the context. It's a lashon of ezor koach. So in other words, he girds himself with strength. But you'll notice that it's also created out of the words yesh nes. So vayishanes motnav, this was an act that was beyond human ken, because he was actually able to run in front of the chariot of Achav all the way to Israel, vayorot lifnei Achav ad boach Israel. A rather striking conclusion to the face-off between the two men, in which now Eliyahu, having proved his point to Achav, becomes the Cinderella, you know, the mouse, or that's turned into the so. He becomes the runner now in front of Achav. It's all very laconically, the Midrashim. Well, you know, you have to learn to be Mechalkim Kavod L'Malchut and so on. In the context, it's absolutely astonishing. But especially if you take into consideration the way Rashi puts it, the reason that this is Mechalkim Kavod L'Malchut is because Achav was all alone. Achav all alone. That was only at the beginning of the story where he split everything with Ovadia. So he was all alone, and that indeed was the point. There was that sudden acceptance of the individual responsibility of the Melech as a person, which of course was exactly what had happened to Eliyahu, where he had to deal with the Almana Asher Garti, that same as an individual. What do you do with the individual? Everything was stripped down here to individuals. And suddenly, where now Achav has to be treated like a Melech, Eliyahu now becomes secondary to Achav. It becomes his runner, which is just absolutely astonishing. Just a few moments ago in the morning, each one was calling the other one the Ocher Yisrael and blaming the other one for the situation. We had an entire perek of a face-off in which the entire point of the perek was to show the immense the difference between the Seir Lazazel, the Seir Lashem, the difference between the Chalukah of Ovadia, the Chalukah of Achav, the deconstruction of a Malchut that has taken out all of the elements that have to do with the connection of Malchut to Malchut Shamayim, and all of a sudden, at the end, it's thrown back together again as if the whole thing was ridiculous. Absolutely shocking. So then we have to go back and rethink this. Let's go back to where we were up to. Everybody falls on their faces, and everybody says, Hashemu Elohim, and this is great. And in Eliyahu's Tfilah, we see, back in Lamed Zayin, Aneni Hashem, Aneni, once again the dualism is clear. This is another dualistic statement. What do we need Aneni Hashem, Aneni? What's the double lotion of Aneni Hashem, Aneni Bichla? You know, okay, we have all kinds of pshatim. Aneni that they shouldn't, we said. Aneni that they shouldn't say that it's, that Tered Esh Min HaShamayim. Aneni to be Mesiach their dad, that they shouldn't say that it's Maasek Shafim. And that's part of the Atah Sivota et Libama Choranit. In other words, it's up to you to make sure the way they're thinking, that would be one interpretation of the Atah Sivota. Or Aneni Balam Azeh, Aneni Balam Avaneh, but whatever it is, it's inappropriate. It's so inappropriate, Mitzad HaLochah, can you say Modim Modim? Why is it said, what do you mean, Aneni Hashem Aneni? What are we talking to two different gods? Why a double Lashon of Aneni? Modim Modim, Mishatkim Otah. So we see the dualism extending. Now he's tining Vata Sibotat Libama Choranit. That leads us to the most basic question, which is, what kind of foolish game is this? Don't think it's a joke. What kind of primitives are going to say, Hashem Elohim, Hashem Elohim, because we set up an absurd contest between magicians and between the Nevi Hashem, and so that's all silly. I understand, what is this? It's some kind of magic show. We know all the way back at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim itself, before Mamad Har Sinai, Moshe Rabbeinu made fun of this approach. And as the Rambam says in Hilchot Yisodei HaTorah, absolutely correctly, Moshe Yada, that there's no point in making miracles. Nobody responds to miracles. There's no longevity to any type of emotional response to miracles. It's as silly as any other emotional response. It's as useful as a trick. That's all. It's just a trick. It's a way in which you trick to do things that your mind is not ready to do. At the time that he subjected them to the direct question on the level of personal commitment and understanding. Im abalu Elohim l'chu acharav. Im Hashemu Elohim l'chu acharav. They didn't say anything. Lo anu oto davar. So obviously they were incapable of having any type of existential determination, intellectual determination. So now he's reduced to playing emotional games. And we'll see in the very next parak, Izevo makes fun of him for these emotional games. Straight out. It's the first thing she says. Okay. So how long will it last, Elio, my friend? Think 24 hours should do it? Okay. You'll be hearing from me. You're dead. It's just a matter of a couple of hours. You know as well as I do that this thing is completely and totally meaningless. What do you think you achieved? And Elio recognizes that she's 100% correct. There's no question in his mind that he's got to leave. Okay, so why do it in the first place? Now, the truth is, if we take a look at what is going on here, that Atah HaSivote Libam Achoranit has a very important meaning. The Poshita meaning of Atah HaSivote Libam Achoranit is that it's because of the way that you had prevented them from doing teshuva, had prevented them from recognizing the truth. That is the reason that this has happened. So as the Rambam explains, okay, first it could be Nimna from Asiyat Teshuva. But that's not enough to explain the language. All you need to say for that is, you've twisted their minds so that they can no longer respond. What Elio is making a point of is that this behavior is regressive behavior. It's achoranit. That's the whole point. They're going backwards. And the fact that you should relate to them as going backwards, and what do I mean by that? I say, if you give them whatever kind of stimulus you'll give them, you will see them reacting as they've already become in the past. Meaning that what we're really doing over here is a reconstruction of Ma'amad Har Sinai. But take a look at the way the Medrash puts it, in which we find the relationship of what it is that Elio is doing to what it is that Moshe Rabbeinu did, is that they're meant to be understood as a parallel. So the way that the Psikta puts it is like this. Moshe and Elio are shavim b'chol davar. In what sense? Well, first of all, take a look at the Ma'aseh Egel. What does it say over there? Simu ish harbo al yirecho. So Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who goes out to destroy here the Nevi'er Abal v'yishchatem. By the way, there's one that the Medrash does not mention, which is very important, and that is in this pasuk. It says, Simu ish charbo al yirecho, and we know that chagor charbecha al yerech gibor is a reference to Brit Milah. So what is the cherev al hayerech? That's the charbecha, the cherev of Milah. Here it says that Elio put his head between his knees. Says the Medrash, what was his head doing between his knees? He was looking towards Milah. So he was telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look, the bottom line is you have to concentrate on the underlying Sharesh. The underlying Sharesh is Milah. And if you can relate to the Brit on that level, then this whole thing can work out. If you're going to start looking at the way that everything has regressed, then you're right. You're going to see it according to what hits you. But what we need to do is to be ma'ached, what appears to be, in fact, a complete breakdown between two different levels of reality. Those two different levels of reality are what? What's the dualism that we've had throughout? The structure of a malchut is a purely biological or sociological phenomena that's associated with beliefs that have nothing to do with God necessarily. Beliefs in a homeland, the idea of being Mosif Yerachat. It could be even named after Sheber, Adonai Haaretz. Nothing to do with God. Crazy name to give a city. Your capital city should be Shomron. When you talk about Yerushalayim, Shalem, Yira, whatever, all of those, that goes back, but it's got real connection to God. Shemer Adonai Haaretz. What a bizoyon. Not any more of a bizoyon than those who call themselves the Kananim today and see that as an alternative to avoid all of the religious nonsense that comes up now in the relationship to the earth. So get beyond that. So what's happening over here is that Achav has been saying all along, look, what's important is to deal with what these people are capable of dealing with and not to have this dream. And this is what Yeravam said about Shlomo. Said to Rechava, this is artificial. You must understand that the extension of the man in the street, the way that you're extending him, forcing him to be involved, not only in a Binyan Beit HaMikdash, but in an expansion of a Malchut to include the entire world in some type of religious tikkun, marrying 1,000 women from every country on earth, as the Yerushalmi says, to be Bekarev them, but to be Bekarev all of these different civilizations, and making these international zoos, and parrots and monkeys, for God's sake. Most people are not ready for that. Don't you understand? We're only just now on the verge of that type of thinking. Thousands of years later, people can begin to conceive, the man in the street can begin to conceive of the value of a multicultural experience which every last element of humanity can be called in a malchus. What kind of thing do you think that you're doing if you create an artificial malchut? By definition, artificial malchut ends up as minut. And this goes all the way back to what Yitro said at Har Sinai. Novo tibo. It ain't going to work, Moses. If everybody has to come to you, it's also that your darga is not what people are looking for. Don't you understand that? It can't work. Naval tibo, remember, is a reference to the pasuk Amar Naval bilibo ein Elohim. The end result is that this is the ultimate kafalayim harchigigit. It's artificial. God pushes you into a position. How long is that going to hold? It's just abusive. What you're doing is abusing them. Demanding all of this money and all of this interest and all of this involvement in the building of the Beis HaMikdash that your father did. It's not going anywhere. He wasn't able to keep it together himself. You're for sure not going to be able to keep it together. That, by the way, is why he says, my pinky is greater than my father's motnai. I will be able to keep it together. He's addressing what? It's not just a childish response to, you know, you're not as good as your father. He's saying, what's the time of my father can't hold it together? I can hold it together. But the point of Yeravam was specifically, if it needs holding together, it's not malchut. And that was one of the yisodas of David himself. Malchut is an emergent property, which by definition cannot be mechanized in any way, even intellectually mechanized. It doesn't work that way. So what is happening over here in the deconstruction of the malchut, in which suddenly Eliyahu appears as the foil to make us deal with each aspect that's missing in the malchut? Remember, Achav is the first success of Yeravam, in a sense. The first success. This is a melech that in secular sources we've seen is immensely powerful on the world scene. According to the Chazal, this perek itself is the basis of our saying that he was Molech Pekipa, one of the Asara Melech, which includes HaKadosh Baruch HaKavayoch. There's Molech Pekipa. We saw for all of Atzor. We'll see later on in a couple of prakim, we'll see that there were representatives of hundreds of kingdoms that had sent their own children to be with Achav. So there's clearly something big has happened. And we saw that big started with Omri's vision of the idea of building the Malchut in terms of the land. To Eliyahu, that was horrific. So Eliyahu is basically the Satmarov, so to speak here. The Satmarev, but rejecting giant Zionism and saying this is ridiculous, this is horrific, this is going to destroy the whole nature of Malchus Yisrael. You're an Ocher Yisrael. And Achav saying, no, on the contrary, you are the Ocher Yisrael. What do you think is going to be the Malchus? Shas? That's what you think is going to be the Malchus? You're going to create a Malchus with the Rebbe Eliashiv as the Malchus? You honestly believe that people are now going to follow, that this is going to be an emergent Malchus. Why? Because you have a bunch of religious ideas? That creates a Malchus? You got to be out of your mind. You're an Ocher Yisrael. At the end of this parak, in which there was a supposed face-off, in which dualism is the key to everything, everybody has to be broken up, even the 100 Nevi Hashem have to be broken up into two completely separate machanot. Avad is going one way, Achav's going the other way, Nevi Habal on one side of the string, the Navi Hashem on the other. Is it Abal Hu Elohim? Is it Hashem Hu Elohim? And we come up with a great thing, Hashem Hu Elohim, but we say it twice, which as the Medrash points out, why are you saying it twice? If Hashem Hu Elohim, why isn't that Modim Modim? Is exactly it. It's the same as the Aneni Hashem Aneni. So the entire thing, so the Medrash gives an excuse, you're right. Indeed, it's not such a nice thing, this Hashem Hu Elohim. But, V'hoya Bayom Ahu Yashem Echad Ushmo Echad. Eventually, of course, that eventually is Eliyahu. That's what he's been pushing for all along. He's the Kanoi, who's the Mavasser of Vaya Bayomo Yashem Echad Ushmo Echad. So that is the very Eliyahu that is dealing over here with this problem. The first time that Eliyahu himself, it's only Achav that changed here, Eliyahu changed here completely. Well, you'd think he would. He also regresses in the next parak, as we'll see, and loses his job because of it. But at this point, the moment of success, in which it's very clear, it's kekaf ish, the av ktana is kekaf ish. What is that all about? Because it's only coming from one person. There's enough rain here for one person. And you'll notice that started originally, where the Medrash says, Eliyahu says, what do you mean, lecheira el achav? He didn't do tshuva, why should I, but says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, well, you know, once upon a time there's only one human in the world, you know, and it rained for him, and ki lo imtir Hashem elokim ki adam ayin, are there humans? Is Achav human? Okay, so it's going to rain. Now comes out kekaf ish, there's enough for one man. And that one man, Eliyahu is convinced, is enough to bring rain to the entire earth. So in other words, the entire system can be a biological system. When I say biological, I don't mean only necessarily that it's built on pure, straight-out biological drives, but it's built on the extensions of biology that are emergent. What's the first level of emergent biology is Brit Milah. In other words, if you develop a species that is capable of utilizing biologically derived ideas of aesthetics and reapply them into the world, so that's basically biology. The behavior of men as men on this planet is biologically driven. In other words, once you have such and such a species, in the same way that you have birds that are going to make their nests, you're going to have humans that are going to make oil pipelines. There's no difference between the two. And in the level of the biologically mandated social structures that allow for human inhabitation of the Kivshua, which was the original mitzvah in Gan Eden. Those are all biological structures, even though they're social, obviously. All species, all social species are clearly biologically mandated and mathematically shown to be biologically mandated. It's completely a function of the genetic interconnections. It's all information-oriented. So that level is the level of Yistakel Lebrit, and that's what he's saying. Everything that was achieved by Yisrael has been achieved already. They already were on Har Sinai. Moshe Rabbeinu already did these things. I'm going to be Mevayer Avodah Zarah. I'm the second one to be Mevayer Avodah Zarah. Moshe Rabbeinu did the same thing with Maisa Egel, which of course begins this whole thing. Yeravam takes us back to the Maisa Egel and forces us to redo with this. Mila Shem Eli, Vayomer Elio Lecholam, Gishu Eli. Same words. Go and grab them. Hayom Yivada, Ki Ata Elohim BeYisrael. It's exactly what it was that Moshe Rabbeinu does with the Hayom Hazeh Achel Teipachtecha, which is the Hamadat Galgal Chama, which is the remez here as well. Moshe was mispal Al Tashchit Amcha V'Nachalatcha. Eliyahu was mispal on Yisrael, Anini Hashem Anini, in order not to be Libam Acharani. Moshe was said Zechor LaAvram LeYitzchak LeYaakov, Hashem Elokei Avram Yitzchak VeYisrael. Moshe was Kol Asher Diber Hashem Naaseh V'Nishma. Over here was the same thing. Hashem Elokim, Hashem Elokim. Moshe makes a Mishkan B'toch Beit Satayim. We saw yesterday, weirdest thing. He creates this Tala, which is B'davka B'toch Beit Satayim. Exactly the same as the size of the Chatzar Mishkan. Moshe was Morid at Ta'esh. That's what it says. Immediately at that point, everybody saw. So he was Morid at Ta'esh. Eliyahu was Morid at Ta'esh. When Moshe was Morid at Ta'esh, it says Vayar Kol Ha'am Vayaronu. At that, you read a sage. Over here is the same thing. Vayar kolam, vayi plow up in the hand. Same exact things are happening that are happening at Maimon Har Sinai. Moshe goes ahead and builds that mizbeach vayikra shmo Hashem Nisi. Comes on, Eliyahu, it's karasho mizbeach ben, bonem mizbeach vayivnes avanim mizbeach b'shem Hashem. Same type of mizbeach, shem esrei avanim, shifte Yisrael. The nar that he sends up becomes the nar ebenei Yisrael. And Hashem Nisi, I'm tining his merumas over here in Vaishanes. That's the Yesh Nes. That's the Hashem Nisi that was there of Moshe as well. And so the entire thing to the mind of Eliyahu is that the things that have been achieved by Yisrael are fundamental now to their personality. It's the way they look at things. If I'm playing these little games, it's to prevent the Ata HaSibot at Libam HaChorani. Change the context and you'll see everything will come out. There's no need for it to be so buried under all of this stuff that Achav has given them. He is the Ocher Yisrael, preventing them from coming out. My challenge to him is, give it a chance. I say, Achav, give it a chance. Bring them all together. See if they're willing to come together. And I'm going to show you the moment that they came together, there was already a willingness and a hope that it would end up being okay. All right, you can go up and eat now. What do you mean? We started at Titus. It's us to go up and eat. Not true. The moment they came together, Kol Hamon, that Kol Hamon was the Kol of Geshem. You just don't see it. I'm telling you, the whole thing is just retrogression. That's all that it is. Get rid of the things that are causing the retrogression, and we'll be okay. And so at that moment, where the two of them join together, Achav and Eliyahu, Achav is just as active in this as Eliyahu is. He needs to gather everybody together. He needs to be the one that's going to go and bring the Nevi'ei HaBaal. Without him, none of this works. So the challenge that he threw to Achav is Ocher Yisrael. Is the same as the challenge that Achav threw to him. The end result is that indeed the issues that Eliyahu is willing to accept is that there are parts of Yisrael that are included in Achav's vision. That's the point, because what Achav is saying is whatever the mechanics are of the development of Malchus, Malchus is always an expression of the detailed points that whose interrelationship is the source of the emergent Malchut, correct? So if you're right, Eliyahu, despite the fact that what we're looking at is entirely secular as far as you're concerned, it's made out of Kedusha. So then whatever it emerges as is Kedusha. Stop blaming me for being Ocher Yisrael. Whatever matrix it's buried in, that's what it is. And it's if they're holding on a bigger darga, then believe me, the Malchus was going to express that darga. You're telling me that right now you need a tshuva movement. I tell you, Achav is central to the tshuva movement. It's me. It's still me, Achav. And I'm willing to engage in this as an individual. And therefore, I'm alone. That doesn't mean he doesn't have his whole party. He doesn't. It's you and me, Elio. And in the end, Elio is going to be running in front of him, accepting the fact that it's you and me. And either you're going to be showing the Kavod L'Malchus, or there won't be a Kavod L'Malchus. Because all of these guys that are running in front of me is not a Kavod L'Malchus. I see that. And I accept that. But this is so central to the entire expression of Klal Yisrael, that in terms of the things that people see, there is absolutely no difference between a secular Malchus and a Yisrael Malchus. There is no difference between pure Minus and Malchus in terms of the mechanical interrelationships of the things that you're involved in. If the Malchus isn't based on garbage collection, having an army, being capable of responding to reality like any other organism. An organism is an organism no matter what it is. A simple biological organism, a complex biological, but there ain't no such thing as a spiritual organism. That I can tell you right now. And so Memela, we're both in this together. That's the point. The Anini Hashem Anini. That's the way it is until the day comes in which V'haya Hashem Echad U'Shmo Echad. You want to have a complete integration, which every last element of physical reality is an immediate and direct expression on a one-to-one level of some type of idea that is Mechuvan Keneged HaShemayim. So that day will come. But for God's sake, it takes thousands of years for people to even understand what we're dealing with. Don't you see that? So that Eliyahu now becomes, again, in his identity as Pinchas, an individual who jumps the gun. And ironically, it's his jumping the gun that allows him to be the one who is willing to put up with the entire process. What does he become in the end? The Malach HaBrit. So that Eliyahu has to be present at every Brit Milah. As if to accentuate his own words, which were, you know, God, if it really just comes down to Brit Milah, that's the difference. Once we're willing to recognize that there's something beyond the biological, and that we have to relate to it as Adam, that ought to be enough for you. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you might remember, I told you that at the time of Pinchas, when you were all excited about the Avodah Zarah. It's terrible. About the Zanus. It's all terrible. It leads to Avodah Zarah. That's what this book has been all about, the interrelationship of Zanus and Avodah Zarah. What brought Elio back to life, so to speak, is the Mifletzet, the interrelationship of a dildo with worship. What kind of strange thing? But that's where it all started. It started with these weird women that were going around. And was it par? Was it women? Was it? I don't know. It's the Torah puts two together as if it's exactly the same thing. That's what brings him to life in the first place. And it's over there that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, those two issues, which you think are the opposite ends of the spectrum, the purely biological, completely sexual, and the most advanced elements of human thinking, which are the philosophical, the religious, are one and the same. And if the makor of your relationship to the earth is a dildo, then it's a dildo on an Avodah Zarah in the end. So that ultimately you're going to be dealing with this as one reality, you're not going to be dealing with it as all, at all. And therefore, if we're talking about V'haya Bayom Ahu, so then you're going to have to be part of that entire process. So that the onesh, so to speak, is that Kisei Shel Eliyahu has to sit there every single Brit Milah. You're upset? Klal Yisrael's not good enough? Okay, here's another Brit. How's that one for you? You better hurry, because there's another 490 this morning. This now becomes the laughter that's involved in the idea of Ben Birkav. It's remarkable. So he himself recognizes now, for an instant, the very issues that have driven him bananas, that left us hanging, because we see that Achav is right, and we see that Eliyahu is right. We see that his kanos has destroyed the country, and that he's an Ocher Yisrael. And yet we see that the country is completely destroyed without the vision of what it is to be a Yisrael that he's insisting has to be there. And unbelievably, the Torah strips the two apart, forces them into a face-off in which they need to embrace at the end. That's absolutely stunning. It's a crazy story. All right, I think that we can do without him. I was going to say the details, but I think this is good for now.